as the kids leave this district, I've also got, you know, I have to keep in mind that some kids will go to a four-year institution. Some mm-hmm. will go to a two-year institution. In Wisconsin, we have technical colleges and two-year colleges. Some of them will go into apprenticeships. I can think of a kid that's just down the road from where I live that went into an electric apprenticeship, and he loves that field. He struggled in high school, but he absolutely adores what he's doing now, and he's being incredibly successful because he's putting his hands and his mind together at the same time. I have some kids that will go to the armed forces, to the service, and they will shine and they'll take those opportunities. And then I have some kids that will go straight to a job. Mm-hmm. We still have about 20% of our kids that live on farms or will work on a farm. Agriculture is still a big part of our area. So I want to make sure they're prepared for that, though. Right. They have to be able to do the agronomy test and have to be able to do the technology, because like a combine that my grandfather used in a cornfield is a very different combine that now has, you know, all the technology based in it. And so they need to be adept in new technologies, too, for all five of those areas. So you just got to keep giving the teachers a chance to make sure we're getting the kids prepared for those five avenues as they walk out our door.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Lauren Glassbrenner. Did I get it right, Lauren? Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Okay. Lauren is the superintendent at River Valley School District, and that is in Spring Green, Wisconsin. Lauren, thank you for being here. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you, Janet. I'm so happy to be here. I absolutely love sharing the story of education that I've had, and I'm always willing to talk about how things move forward for others. So if anybody can get any goodness out of that, then I'm always absolutely all in.
Yeah. And I love that about educators across the board. And I've interviewed 150 plus people so far. You guys are some of the most giving people that I have ever met, because it's education. Everybody wants everybody else to be successful. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle, what your color skin is, what anything, any of those biases that we all seem to have. None of that matters, because everybody wants what's best for the kids. And I just love that. So thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about your journey, and then tell us a little bit about River Valley Schools.
Well, my journey, it's kind of funny because I'm a 56-year-old person, and I just shared with somebody the other day that I've been in a classroom since I was 4 years old.
Oh,
I went I went to preschool as a 4-year-old. It wasn't full day 4K back then because I'm old. But as soon as you hit kindergarten, I've been in a classroom, and I went from a classroom in southwestern Wisconsin in a district called Fenimore to a college at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. From there, immediately got hired to teach in Green Bay. And then spent many years in Sun Prairie after coming back down to southern Wisconsin. But then I was in classrooms for years there. And then I joined into leadership roles where I was actively involved in either coaching staff or being a principal over staff in classrooms. And now, as a superintendent, I am in classrooms every day. I spend all day trying to make sure that the systems for those classrooms are ready. So I'm a kid at heart. But I've also been a kid in a classroom since I was 4 years old. And I guess if I take 4 and subtract it from that 56,
that's 52 years.
52 years of really trying to do what's best in a classroom. And it comes naturally to me. I really believe that kids want to learn no matter the age. I believe people want to learn no matter the age. And so even as an adult, I enjoy teaching adults as well. So my journey is really about that idea of conveying goodness out of that learning.
And awesome.
Big part of that has always been literacy. I was a reader when I was little. Even when my dad would have us go fishing, I'd take a book. When I'd go hunting, I would take a book out into the hunting blind with me. I always had a book with me. And now as I go around classrooms, I often have books with me so that I can share books and words with kids. Because I think it's just kind of that gateway, that thing that gets us all onto the same playing field. So I believe in the word. I believe in the spoken word and the written word. And so I have always enjoyed that.
That's amazing.
River Valley was a good fit for me. And I love the arts, but I was a farm kid. And one thing that's really cool about River Valley is they have a really good balance between arts and academics, athletics, and agriculture. So we have a large FFA program, but we also have a large arts program, but we also have a large academic reputation. So those things kind of coming together was a good fit for me. I can jump into a choir classroom and sing a song. I can read a book. Or I can go into a barn and watch a kid milk cows and have a conversation with their parents about taxes. So I think all of those things together made this district just the best fit for me. So awesome. River Valley is about 1,100 students in southwestern Wisconsin. So if Wisconsin's, you know, your typical map, we're down here. We're right down in the corner. Spring Green is where my office is because that's where the center of the district is. But it encompasses the four towns of Spring Green, Arena, Lone Rock, and Plain. So those four districts consolidated in 1962 to become River Valley because we are a district of the Wisconsin River Valley as it winds through lots of beautiful hills down here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Wisconsin Dells? Is that near?
Very near. You guys? So that is Janet just north of us. So the that's right up there, and that water from the Dells comes our way.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. It truly about an hour west of here, the Wisconsin River dumps into the Mississippi River, and as that water makes that journey, it created lots of hills and valleys. So we have beautiful topography. We're just so very fortunate. It's some of the best hiking, hunting, fishing, walking, like beautiful prairies and forests filled with plants and animals. And it's just, we're very lucky, very lucky. So nature is around us. And I feel a kindred spark to that too. So yeah, I found a really good spot.
Awesome. Sounds like it. My my mother, God rest her soul, she's been gone for quite some time, but she loved the Wisconsin Dells. And she was a nurse, and she retired when my dad retired. And she was just a year younger than him. But, you know, he got one of those sweet deals way back. You know, he's 59 and a half, and they were trying to hire the young ones coming in.
Yes,
so he got a sweet deal to retire. And I grew up in Nebraska, so they were snowbirds. They would come down to Texas, which is where I am now. And that's kind of why I moved down this way when my dad got older. But they would spend the winters, winter Texans, you know, in Texas. And then in the summer, they were all over. They would travel all over. We were in Michigan for 19 years, and they'd come up. And on the way, they would go up to Nebraska and stay at the farm my dad grew up on. And then they would go to visit us, and they always stopped at the Wisconsin Dells because my mother just loved them. So it's a little bit, when you talk about the Dells, it immediately takes me to my mom. So
yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
That's cool. Yeah. Wisconsin's got some beautiful, beautiful parts of the Midwest. In the corner of Wisconsin that I am, it's called the Driftless. So when I say driftless, it's where the glaciers prehistorically did not come.
Oh.
It dumped water into the driftless. And so that dumping of water off the edge of the glaciers for the northern part of Wisconsin all created these very deep hills and valleys. And so we have this driftless area that is beautiful for agriculture. But our German and Norwegian and Irish ancestors that came here recognized that it looked like the fjords of Norway, or like the great hills of Germany, or like the rolling plains of Ireland. So a lot of the people that immigrated here were noticing those, you know, historic European features because of the driftless zone. So it's a really cool space to be. You should come and visit anytime.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So let's get back to your school, though. We digressed a little bit, but very cool. Hey, there you go. There's your geography lesson, and what an amazing thing. So if you ever get a chance to go there and you haven't been, go, because Wisconsin is an absolutely beautiful state in the summer.
Well, we got 10 inches of snow this weekend. So, hey, it was beautiful, though. So I go out in that, and I shovel, and I hike, and I jump, and it's really fun. So you just... You have to embrace it, just like you embrace the heat.
No, I moved to Texas.
I embraced it, I guess.
I lived in Michigan for 19 years and moved to South Texas for a reason, but that's okay. All right. Well, tell us some more about what's going on there. What are you guys doing? Tell us about the things that make the River Valley School District amazing.
Yeah, I think it's my teachers.
Awesome.
I truly believe it's my teachers. They are devoted. They are well-educated, but they are devoted people that want the best for kids. That's always on the forefront of everybody's mind. And so I feel really blessed. And I say that in the true definition of blessed, because my staff think about kids first. We really want kids to be our number one priority. And we all know that children walk in our doorway, some of them with way more challenges than others.
Mm,
and so within that, If you keep that kid first, it means that you have to be ready to really differentiate and be prepared to make that one lesson 20 lessons on the spot. Because you might have kids in 20 different spots if you've got 25 kids in your room. Right. And I think that the art of teaching is something that they absolutely adore. I think they love that art of teaching to make sure that the kids are truly in tune with everything that's there. So, I go back to my college years, and I guess I had a great professor that made me memorize one of the definitions of education. And to educate is to make sure that we understand the process or product of a deliberate attempt to fashion an experience to control some learning. Teachers are fashioning experiences on a daily basis to control the learning goals, right? To control the learning that we have as that true target out there. And I think every teacher in this district does that on a daily basis. Some of them, you know, 6 out of the 8 hours of the day. If you're in an elementary classroom, you've got 20 kids and you're trying to meet their needs for 8 hours. It's a calling. It's truly a calling to be a good educator.
I agree.
You can't turn it off at 3:30 when you drive out the parking lot. No. Teachers take work home with them. They think of it all weekend. They wake up thinking about what they're going to be doing in the next hour so that they can get prepared. So when you say what truly makes River Valley successful, I think we hire really good people, and I think we keep really good people. We've had really good success. A recent statistic, I'm not sure what it is this year, but I think 75% of my staff had been here for 10 years or more.
Wow. That's impressive.
Once you're here and you find that family of people to teach with, I think people want to be here and stay here, and they'd leave if they could. I mean, nobody's making a bunch of money when you're in an educational world, but if you can find that family of people that you want to be on a team with to do that same good work with, I think that's a really proud thing for me to be a part of. So I don't want anybody to ever think that it's my district. It's truly their district. My job now as the superintendent is to remember what it was like to be a teacher, first of all, and then to make sure that the systems that are in place to make their work easier is what I get focused on doing. So,
and that makes you an excellent superintendent, because you're leading, but you're leading in a way thinking about the people that you're serving. And servant leadership is so important when you're in a service industry like we are in. And obviously it shows, because you're doing a great job because your people are staying. And that people, what is that quote? People don't leave bad jobs. They leave bad leaders. And
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And we all know it's not rainbows and sparkles everywhere.
No, of course not.
When I have an opening in River Valley, I am in a lot of the rural areas around Wisconsin. They're having a really hard time finding qualified teaching staff to fill those positions. I have neighbors in neighboring districts, I mean, that kind of start the school year without every position filled. Wow. And even the capital of Wisconsin, which is Madison, I think it was 2 years ago, they had like 200 open positions at the first day of school. We don't. Often it's people from other districts that are applying to my district when I have an opening. And I think that speaks to that great pride that we have. It's called River Valley Pride for a reason, right? So we believe that we can soar above. We're the River Valley Blackhawks, and we truly do that believe that we can kind of glide and soar above based on our energy, that we continue to have that piece of excellence that we believe in and that we fight for every day.
Nice. Very, very nice. That's awesome. So what, you know, it sounds like things are going incredibly well. What would you say your biggest challenge is right now then?
Oh, Wisconsin is troubled by school funding. I think it's across the United States that there's funding problems, but Wisconsin has had, I think, more issues with school funding. Our neighbors in Michigan, in Iowa, Minnesota, haven't had the same struggles that we have. Everybody's struggling. I don't want to say, I understand that the economy's not great anywhere in the United States in many people's minds, but Wisconsin, you know, at one time was in the top five for how you paid teachers and how we ranked. And now we're in the 20s. And so we have gone to like in the 20s out of the 50 for pay. And I think that a lot of the school funding has really been, I guess, troubled by the fact that they're trying to fund two different systems. I think we have some leadership in Wisconsin that believes in the private school zone, and they also believe in the public school zone, and there's not enough money to fund both. So they're always fighting to figure out who's going to get the upper hand. And without being political, I believe that public schools are the foundation for all in a good democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want a kid that comes from poverty to still see the same opportunity as a kid that comes from affluence.
Yeah.
And that can only happen in a public school.
Yeah. Because they're not going to be able to afford a private school. They're just not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that that foundation is the foundation of our democracy in the state of, you know, Wisconsin, but also in the country of the United States.
Well, it's the United States. Yeah. I mean, opportunity is here because of the ability to get an education and the ability, you know, and you don't have to have a college diploma to be successful, but you gotta, I was thinking back to what you had said before, and it was something that I always said, you teach a child. You learn to read so that you can read to learn. So you teach that child how to read and how to learn and how to think critically. And that's what you're doing in a public school or any school, you know, but still, I mean, and if you don't have that ability and you don't have great teachers like you guys do, it's hard for the kids. I mean, they got enough going on. They got enough problems at home and stuff and social emotional and all of that stuff, but they've got to learn how to read. And I love the fact that that's important to you too, because it, you know, that goes to, let's make sure that the kids have a good education so that they can. And then the other piece of it is just, you know, the motivation to do something with your life. It doesn't mean that people in poverty are going to stay in poverty and people with wealth are going to stay wealthy, but you have to do something with your life. You cannot just expect to be handed something and everything will be, you know, rainbows and butterflies, because that's not reality, is it?
Yeah.
So
no, and I think every child wants to be productive. I believe in the children. I was just recently at a gathering of people that were celebrating literature and the spoken word with lit groups and stuff like that. And they're always asking me, what are we going to do? What about the kids? What about this? And I say, our future is bright because of the children. Mm-hmm. They're not tarnished by racism. They're not tarnished by bigotry yet. They're not tarnished by the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
They want to play. They want to learn. They want to read. They want to do math. They want to do all those things yet. And I think it's us adults that convey those other thoughts.
Biases are
children.
Taught.
And I believe
taught.
The children, like, I know it's a goofy, you know, like Whitney, you know, song, but they truly are. The children are our future, you know, and they will lead us out of any problems we get into. Their brilliant young minds will get us there. I believe in them so much. So that's my collective work, is to make sure now that there are systems to help those kids get what they need so they can get us out of any trouble that we're in.
There's a big difference between being supported by somebody who's walked in your shoes and someone who hasn't. At Lighthouse Therapy, our leadership team is made up of experienced clinicians who've actually worked in schools. We understand the pressure you're under and what real support looks like. That's why our therapy solutions, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person, are built with you in mind. No complicated systems or red tape, just streamlined support and seasoned therapists who are ready to make a difference. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
So,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're great.
I was going to say, and that's why I don't, you talked about not being political. I have opinions. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I've said this before too. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't matter any of those things, because in education, we all want what's best for the kids, and that's for our kids to get a quality education. And, you know, and in giving you guys a voice and saying, look what we're doing. You know, you guys aren't paying us enough. You're bashing on us, but we're still doing it. And that's obviously what's happening there. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, as the kids leave this district, I've also got, you know, I have to keep in mind that some kids will go to a 4-year institution. Some will go to a 2-year institution. In Wisconsin, we have technical colleges and 2-year colleges. Some of them will go on to apprenticeships. I can think of a kid that's just down the road from where I live that went into an electric apprenticeship, and he loves that field. He struggled in high school, but he absolutely adores what he's doing now. And he's being incredibly successful because he's putting his hands and his mind together at the same time. I have some kids that will go to the armed forces, to the service, and they will shine and they'll take those opportunities. And then I have some kids that will go straight to a job. We still have about 20% of our kids that live on farms or will work on a farm. Agriculture is still a big part of our area. So I want to make sure they're prepared for that, though. Right. They have to be able to do the agronomy tests and have to be able to do the technology, because like a combine that my grandfather used in a cornfield is a very different combine now has, you know, all the technology based in it. And so they need to be adept in new technologies, too, for all five of those areas. So you just got to keep giving the teachers a chance to make sure we're getting the kids prepared for those five avenues as they walk out our door.
Yeah, if you see the dashboards on some of those combines, it's like you're looking at a jet engine. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
When did I get on the airplane? You know?
Yeah,
I grew up in Nebraska, and it's you know, it's real similar. I don't live in Nebraska anymore, but that, you know, you can take the girl out of the farm, but you're never gonna take the farm out of the girl. Doesn't matter where I lived, I was always, you know, a rural, and I wasn't even rural. I grew up in Grand Island, Nebraska, which was about 30,000. I think it's 40,000 now, and someone's going to probably tell me, no, it's more than that. But when I was there, it was in the 30s, but you know, just, it was a great place to grow up. We had the agriculture and 120 acre farm that my grandparents had forever and ever, that we would go and sled and feed the cows and do whatever, and, you know, so beautiful. Yeah. So,
yeah, like I'm going to keep going with that combine image, because I had opened a book. So like, this is an example of what a good superintendent should be doing. Just my opinion.
Sure.
So you get to hear it. Like, so here's a great book called The Lonely Scarecrow. It's about fall and the transition of fall into winter. And so as I go to classrooms, this book, and it's filled with beautiful pictures. But if you look carefully, there's a combine. Right. Like, and I can still teach children, like, this is what a combine does, because only 20% of my kids know what that is. Right.
Yeah.
And then I can use the spoken word that's put in here to talk about how that combine is like a monster as it harvests the wheat, and that we can stand alone like a scarecrow and stand alone in an empty field once the combine has done its work. And so I believe like these kind of books bring everybody together. They're visually wonderful. But it's that
Who's the author of that book?
The author of this is Tim Preston. And I have to give the illustrator a nod, too. It's Maggie Keene. It's an absolutely beautiful book. And it's called The Lonely Scarecrow. He starts in fall, but he ends in winter, because he becomes a snowman as the snow in Wisconsin dumps on us like it does.
Yeah.
And then the different animals come out. And so I can teach science about the different animals that we might see in the winter, but we might not see them in the fall because they're still out amongst those fields. So I think storybooks like that, and any kind of a hard book that I can put my hands on, allow me to experience that teaching element with children at any point in time. I also could give this to a high school class and say, think about the alliteration. Think about the symbolism. Think about the ways that we can convey this. How do we instill this knowledge? How would you illustrate this differently? How could we use AI now to produce the next chapter?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
all of those things still fit. So it's books like that that really keep me, you know, chugging in a classroom and allowing me to be a part of those wonderful things.
Lauren, what you just proved is that you are a teacher. You are somebody who teaches, even though you're the superintendent, you are teaching. And what a great example and model that is for not only for your teachers, but for your student, the students to see that as well. So kudos to you. It's amazing that you said that, because, you know, as an SLP, I'm the CEO. I haven't done speech therapy for 3 years now. And it was the hardest thing I ever did was give up being an SLP and seeing kids directly. And I'm sure for you, it was probably hard too. But you've kept it up. You've kept it up.
No, I was going to say, that's why I chose River Valley. I'm allowed to be in my office and do stuff like this with you. I'm allowed to go to a tech college communications this morning. I'm allowed to go across the hall and be a part of a sixth grade choir class, or I can just walk across a parking lot and read a book like this to a group of children, because it's small enough that I can get everywhere I need. And that matches me. Some people in bigger districts, it wouldn't match. And that's great for them. But I needed something small enough where I could still be a part and have my nose in a classroom. It really was what I needed to be a part of in a district.
How long have you been there? I didn't ask that question.
It's year six for me in this role. Year six. And I was a principal for 5 years prior to that. But prior to that, I was in a classroom for 22 years. And I think that made me a better leader.
Yeah. Was that all at River Valley, or 6 years at River Valley just as superintendent?
6 years at River Valley. Prior to that, I was in a town called Columbus, Wisconsin, which is it's just north of Madison. So that is somewhat rural, though it's growing. While I was living in Columbus, my 22 years were in a suburban area called Sun Prairie in Wisconsin. So I've been in suburban, I've been in urban, and I've kind of drifted to smaller rural. And I truly believe that the smaller rural, which I grew up in, is what's allowed me to share the most. It's allowed me to share some of the great teachings that I had in my background, but all the experiences I had, I can bring to this district.
Awesome. Well, they are definitely blessed to have you. So one last question.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you could miraculously fix one thing, and it can't be money. We already know you guys need more money. Everybody needs more money. If you could miraculously fix one thing in your world as a superintendent, what would that, and never have to worry about it again. Never have to worry about it again. What would that one thing be?
Well, the other book that I brought forward, because I love the books, right?
I love it. Yeah.
Power of Positive Leadership by John Gordon. And one of the chapters that really confronted me the most would be that positive leaders confront, transform, but remove the negativity. We are going to be able to have a conversation about things that we don't agree on. And I think that great banter is incredible. I think people have forgotten that we can disagree and still be respectful.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that if I could get rid of anything, whether it's in my district, my state, my world, it would be negativity to the point where we judge others without listening. I just worry about that negativity and that people hold that kind of internally without listening. And so I really wish people would allow the story. Doesn't mean that you and I are going to agree on everything, Janet. That's okay.
That's okay. But that's the power of debate, right?
Yeah. We can respect each other. We can get through it. We can make it the best that we can, and we can respect our differences. And I really think that the world is missing that right now. And so if I can get rid of one thing, would be that like negativity piece that we jump to rather than listening first. So
I totally, and I'll tell you, as a podcast host, and you are number 164, I have talked to 164 people in 164 different walks of life. And there's definitely been people that I've interviewed that are political or socioeconomic or take your pick, race, creed, whatever, that has been different than mine in different situations. And we have amazing conversations. And that is the power of communication, which is exactly what you're talking about, because we are all, and I said it before, we're all about the kids. We want the kids to be successful. They are our future. Let's take care of them. Yep. And just because you do it one way and I do it some other way doesn't mean we can't have a beautiful conversation about what you're doing, because what you're doing matters and what they're doing matters. And so that's, I love that. I love that you brought that to the front, because it's so important. And I think we're getting there. I think we're swinging back. I think we swung so far over.
I think so too.
I think it's coming back a little bit, and people are starting to listen a little bit more to each other. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. You know, we all have our own bias, but you just really, please, let's listen to each other. Please, let's have honest conversations and not just immediately get mad, right? Everybody just is so quick to just get mad. So
the grumpiest people in this district, my final thing that I talk to them about is that there is a cup of coffee waiting for you in my office at any point in time.
Yeah,
come down, have that conversation. My office is for you, with you, not against you. So we can have coffee. We can. Yeah. I'll get you tea. I'll get you water if that's what you prefer. Otherwise, but I do believe that if we can just sit with a cup of coffee and have that conversation, even if it gets to a point of not understanding each other, we can do it respectfully.
Right.
So I truly believe, you know, that we'll get through it, but we have to be open to being
and
open,
it makes us Americans. You know, we are a country that loves our people, and we love our children. And let's just continue to move forward in a way that helps our kids to be successful. And that's what Brighter Together is about. You know, it's about that. Just let's find ways to promote the amazing things that are happening in education. So with that in mind, Lauren, how do people find River Valley, and how do they find, maybe if they wanted to contact you, I'm sure you're probably on your website, but
I am. Yeah. So again, it's River Valley, but our address on our email would be RV schools. So just the letter R, the letter V, and then schools.org. And okay. You would be very welcome. My contact information's there. You would always be able to, you know, find L Glassbrenner at rvschools.org. We're all there. But we enjoy visitors. We enjoy people being a part of our school. We want the schools to be a part of our community. So, awesome. You know, if anybody ever wants to see an incredible school that works with, again, my four A's, academics, agriculture, the arts, you know, and athletics, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Athletics,
we're
yeah.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here. Awesome. We make that balance happen, I believe. And we just try to do the good work that we are intended to do, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, it's been an incredible conversation. I knew it would be. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it is December, what is today? December 3rd. So
December
by the time
3rd.
This comes yeah. out, Christmas will, oh, there you go. He's got a Christmas book. Oh, that's got a gold award on it. What's it called?
Yeah, Don't Ever Be a Stranger in the Woods. This is an incredible book. Benjamin Franklin Award. It's based on some of the beautiful photography in here. And this is book done by Carl. What's Carl's last name? Carl Sams and Jean Stoick. And it's just using, again, the beauty of the nature and the things yeah. around us up here in Wisconsin. So don't ever be a stranger. Come on up to Wisconsin. We'd love to have you.
I swear I'll get there. I've been to Minnesota. I don't think I've made it to Wisconsin, but I'll make it. It's one of those. It's like I was in Michigan for 19 years. So I don't know why I'd ever went to Wisconsin, but there you go. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you again. Have a very happy holiday. Merry Christmas. I know this is going to come out after Christmas, but I can't not. Yeah. Wish you that. So
thank you so much. It yeah. was great to meet you in person, Janet. And again, yeah. I wish everybody the same. Enjoy your holidays. Make it the best. I just believe go outside, get outside, yeah. take in some of that fresh air and enjoy the season.
Absolutely. Thank you.